Chapter 1. If you've never held a fake eye in your hand, I'll tell you what it looks like. It's made of glass and feels cool and heavy in your palm, like a big shooter marble or a stone from a cold stream. It's not a perfect circle, but egg-shaped. If you tap it, you'll hear it's hollow inside. The black pupil is painted on, and so is the iris. As for the white part, it's not true white. Tiny squiggles of pink give it a bloodshot look. I clenched the fake eye in my fist so hard my hand hurt. This I knew and nothing else. I had no idea how I'd gotten the eye in the first place, why my clothes were dirty and soaking wet, or what I was standing on. Why was it so green and squishy? Looking around, I didn't know where my old world had gone. The brick, slate, and stone of Drake Rosemont Preparatory Academy were nowhere to be found. I took a tentative step, then winced. I was aching everywhere. I had to vomit, too, but I didn't think about that as I looked around, mouth open like a dead fish. I was in what looked to be a jungle. The vegetation was thick, lush, impenetrable as a wall. I pushed away vines, mossy branches, and leaves the size of manhole covers. I closed my eyes against prickers and thorns, but when the branches snapped back like clawed hands, I opened them again. "Mel," I yelled, tears starting to stream down my face. I felt so confused, so lost. But if I could find Mel, everything would be all right. My best friend would know where we were and what to do. Desperately, I looked in all directions. What struck me immediately was the violence. Everything seemed to be choking something else. Creepers twisted around brambles. Brambles around vines. Vines around trees. Every plant vied for space, and the thin shafts of light that pushed through the greenery overhead. But there wasn't enough space for all of them. "Mel!" I screamed again, my throat scratchy and raw. My brown school Oxfords made sucking sounds as I walked. I felt as if I were being pulled down, as if the jungle might consume me. When my foot landed ankle-deep in mud, I was forced to stop and try to pull myself together. What I needed was some water. I reached for my bottle in a side compartment of my backpack, then realized I wasn't carrying anything. I had nothing but the clothes I was wearing. And the eye. This fact panicked me even more. I didn't know how to function without my cell, my iPad, and my laptop. They were as much a part of my everyday life as my toothbrush. My head started to pound. I took some deep breaths. I tried to think of what Mel or her father, Mr. Sharp, would do. They would tell me to look for landmarks. "Okay, fine," I said aloud, just to hear my own voice. Something human and normal. Landmarks. I looked for exceptional things through the haze of green, and I found them. A particularly knobby tree, a cluster of red flowers, a huge standalone fern. I tried committing these things to memory, but I'd never been much good at orienting myself. That's what my phone's GPS was for, and my concentration began to trickle away with the sweat that poured off my skin. The truth was, I was too freaked out to concentrate. It didn't help that dozens of mosquitoes were following me. Swatting did nothing. They bit my hands, face, legs, hair part, and ears, whatever naked skin they could find. I began to scratch the itchy bumps, but stopped when I...